Welcome to the Inspire to Invest podcast, where we're sharing inspiring stories from business owners, entrepreneurs, and real estate investors on the pursuit of wealth and financial freedom. This episode of Inspire to Invest is brought to you by Executive Lens.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Inspire to Invest. I've got Damian Lupo joining us today from Sedona, but he's currently in the midst of a transition to Dallas, Texas. He is a seasoned entrepreneur who has launched and grown more than 70 companies from $0 to $100 million with a remarkable 25-year journey. In addition to being a prolific author with 12 published books, Damian is celebrating his extraordinary achievements, building multiple companies from the ground up, many of which have reached 7, 8, or 9-figure valuations. I'm just wondering to myself, when you sleep as I'm reading this. Despite a significant setback that saw him lose a $20 million portfolio at the age of 30, his resilience and determination have led him not only to overcome homelessness, but also to rebuild his wealth into the 9 figures. Today, he's a driving force, transforming the retirement landscape with his groundbreaking retirement plan system and revolutionizing the home and apartment construction industry with his pioneering work at Frametech. It's very nice to meet you. How are you today?
Good. It's good to see you and good to be here. I'm excited about this chat we're about to have, and I'm very excited about renaming our company after our offline conversation. It's always cool to have something new and fresh happen. So I'm sure my team will be very excited.
It can be your other division.
That's right.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. Maybe you can give us a little bit more context because you have this really illustrious journey, but take us back to the beginning because, you know, you have done a lot in what seems like a fairly short period of time. So where did it all start for you?
It's funny because it started with a problem. And it's also interesting to be in a place where 3 years ago, some guys that came and had lunch and they said, we have this idea on a napkin. And 3 years later, that idea is $1 billion company. And that seems like an overnight success story, but where it started was, exactly. But, you know, those things happen because of years and decades, just like Justin Bieber spent 10 years starting at age 4, and then he was an overnight success story after those 10 years. So this started with a problem when I was 11, when my parents told me we were broke. And I said, I don't buy that. I'm going to go build a business. And so I did. And it was just buying and selling video games. And then that led to that entrepreneurial brain was all about seeing problems everywhere and then saying, how can I build a business around this? And that it just kept happening over and over. I got thrown out of college because I started a bookstore in my dorm room. And they said, you are literally putting the bookstore on campus out of business, which didn't bother me, but it pissed them off. And so they threw me out.
That's an interesting reason to get kicked out of school.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's the only one, but I was kind of proud of it. And it was what that taught me was that I'm not meant to be inside of a cage or a box. I'm an entrepreneur. Cages are terrible. I got fired my last job as a volunteer on a political campaign 15 years ago. So I can't even maintain a job when I'm free. That just tells you the entrepreneurial brain cannot be contained. It's a terrible idea. So
yeah, I've learned that I'm also unemployable. So I resonate with everything you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and when you embrace it, it's good for everybody. If you try to fight that, you know, and usually we're fighting it because we're trying to serve somebody else's needs, like they need us to do something. And I just embraced it and started going off into the wild, starting businesses. And a lot of them didn't work, but what they did is they taught me something. So it wasn't a win or lose, it was a win or learn. And I ended up learning a lot, which stair steps you over time. And so, you know, the struggles you have when you're starting something and you're only making a few $1,000, you learn to go to 10 to 100,000 to a million. And each of those expands you and your the way that you are. So same thing with net worth. People that are like, oh, I just want 10 or $100 million. I'm like, you don't even have your first million. If you got it, it would be a lottery event. You'd lose it. It's the same thing with the business. You can't start off at $1 billion business, different skill set, different mindset, different spirit. And there's a process. And that's what 70 companies looks like, a process of going from zero and homeless basically to, you know, $1 billion operations.
Now, can you talk a little bit about that? Because I mean, sometimes people struggle just with one business and you have 70 or have had 70. So can you talk about how those kind of spun off from each other and how you navigated that kind of growth and expansion? Because it is very significant.
It's one of the biggest mistakes and the shift people tend to take on. What I've heard too many times is people say, when I ask what they're doing, they're like, well, I've got 5 businesses or 8 businesses. And I go, okay, are they all relatively new? No, they're, you know, 2 or 3 years old. And I go, okay, I've made that mistake too. There's not a narrow focus. I have 5 different companies running now, and there's people running each of those companies. And I have a unique role, mostly as a visionary and mostly as the person that can see way down the path. But what people do is they try to do things simultaneous. They don't give it the focus, and you have to be laser focused with one thing. It's kind of like having a child. You don't have a child and then say, "Okay, good luck. You're 3 years old. Go off into the woods." Like, there's an 18-year process, and it's the same thing with business. You got to give it time to mature and go through seasons. So some of those companies lasted months. Some of them were years. Most of them were learning. Some of them were profitable and maybe millions. And
What kind of
then
businesses were
ultimately,
they? Like, what industries were they in? What were you servicing?
everything from insurance sales to precious metals to media. There was a lot of real estate, a lot of development. It was, I'm trying to think of something I didn't do. So it was covering a lot of different things. You see commonality. I mean, businesses all speak a similar language with, with financials, and then there's, building organizations. A lot of it, the secret sauce with organizations and business in general is culture. And people think they don't. I screwed that up for 20 years and finally started understanding it when I got a lot of mentoring, and I was like, "Oh God, this sucks because I don't know anything about this." But that's what's made the difference with what's happening now, and how you create something that's worth $1 billion. You have to create something magical with the culture, not just a cool widget, because
What's your, what
it
would you
get.
say is your secret sauce? Like, when you think, well, I wasn't doing that before, but then I made this change and now it's like, boom.
Well, one of the things with the culture, you've got to have something really big. It can't be about your own profit. Like, if you're just thinking, "Okay, I'm going to make a company that makes a lot of money," people aren't going to. You got to have people obsessed about things. And I'm not saying every business has to do this, but if you want to create a unicorn, a $1 billion thing, or something way bigger than just something that pays you a monthly salary, it's got to be something where people are so excited that there's an obsession where they can't hardly sleep. You actually mentioned that I stopped drinking last year, and all of a sudden I have to sleep 2 or 3 hours less a night. So that actually helped a ton, because I just got an extra, I just figured it out. It's an extra like 700 hours a year. So if you start doing the math, I'm like, wow, I just added 20 weeks of work that I opened up. And so when you have this big mission, when you've got something that's really powerful, which is solving the housing crisis, that's what we're doing. It's a huge mission. People get excited because it's new, and it's going to impact society. So we have people that are equally obsessed. If you don't have that, you're just going to have people punching clocks. It's not really going to make a difference. And that's what we have here. And I would say that is the secret sauce.
Now, can you talk about that business philosophy? So in the bio, we talked a little bit about what that looked like, but can you get into a little bit more detail of what you're really trying to accomplish with this company or these companies?
Yeah, so the underlying principle with all of the companies that are now really working together is kind of like this flywheel. Like, Amazon has all these things, and they're a flywheel with people. They all have a way of helping people create financial freedom. And how do you do that? You create more wealth, and you reduce expenses. So we're doing that in different ways. With my 401k company, we're helping people take control of their retirement account and doing something outside of Wall Street, investing in real estate or Bitcoin or whatever. And then with the manufacturing company that we're building, this is a way for us to solve the housing crisis. So that's great for everybody, because if you solve the housing crisis, it means you're building a lot of housing, which we're doing, which lowers the price for everybody. And investors are making 5, 6, 8, 10 times their money. So everybody is winning here. So there's an expansion of wealth, and there's a decrease of expense. So this is part of the mission. That's why everything works together, because it's all got the continuity and the thread around financial freedom. So I don't do anything that doesn't fit with that. If somebody says, "I got this idea," I'm like, "Does it fit with these other things?" And if it doesn't, it's an easy pass, because I have rules.
No, that makes sense. Now, can you talk a little bit about how you're trying to solve the housing crisis and just talk a bit more about what your business is doing? Like, are you doing prefab homes, like tiny home communities, or like really what's your whole thing? Because obviously prior to today, I wouldn't have known really who you are or what you're up to.
Yeah, so basically the problem in society with housing is that we're not building enough. And it's because a lot of things after 2008 fell off, like a lot of trades left, and we're just not building enough. We don't have enough people that are doing the trades, for example, framers. And it's also a system that hasn't really innovated much. You mentioned tiny houses. There's 3D printing. All these things are the fringe. 92% of what is used is site-built framing, guys with hammers on site with putting up boards. And so what we're doing is we're doing all the framing in a manufacturing plant for houses and apartments. So we build all the walls and the trusses and the floors in a plant. So we take plans, we then put them into a plant, these plants and our robots. We have the most technologically advanced plant in the world here in central Arizona. And we build all these pieces, and then our team takes them, all these pieces, on our trucks and puts them up on a slab. And then boom, you've got a framed house. Now, that doesn't sound really exciting, except we do it 4 times faster than traditional framing. We have 10 times better quality product with 99% less waste. So you do those together, and it completely disrupts the industry and it produces what we need, this gap. When Trump says we're going to have more housing, well, somebody's got to do it. Like you can't just like direct the world to do it. Like somebody, so we're actually solving that problem here in Arizona and then in Texas this year.
And I don't know about the states. Like, I'm in Canada, and one thing that we find is just the red tape and bureaucracy from province to province is very different. So, for example, in Alberta, you can build things pretty quickly. Like, in the span of a year, you could probably put up an eight-plex. Where in Toronto, you could be 5 or 10 years down the road, right? So, you're facing limitations just based on the political landscape. How would you say you're combating that in the United States? Or maybe are there areas that you're focusing on just because it's easier?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, just for reference, and most people don't know, I just learned this last week when I was in Vegas with Paolo, the founder of Boxable, and we were talking about how in this unique environment where regulations are being slashed and burned, how can we help create more housing by reducing the regulation? The statistic, which is frightening, is that 30% of the cost of a new house is regulation. It's government. So we got to get rid of that. We got to get like reduce that down to just safety. The other thing that you do is you create a product that is so easy for communities and regulators and inspectors to love, and which is what we're doing. Our product is way better quality and it's safer, it's stronger. So when you do that, it makes everybody buy in really easy. If you do something super abstract, then you have a 10-year period for anything to get done in Toronto or a lot of jurisdictions. So keeping it simple, we do one thing. It's this framing, and they say, "Oh, your stuff is literally perfect." Like it's
You're like, I
and it's
know.
stronger. Yeah, we're like, yeah, I mean, because we also have an on-site testing facility that tests our stuff, more sophisticated testing than the third-party testing that we also employ. So we're thinking ahead. How do we make this easier for the governments and everybody to say yes? If you think about it, make their job easier, everybody does say yes. But if you make it harder, they're like, screw you. I don't want extra work. You got to make sure you're making their life better.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Now, when you look back at just your evolution as an entrepreneur, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges and obstacles that you've faced, especially as you have started to scale across, different spectrums, and how have you really overcome them?
It's what you, what, a couple things. What you know that just ain't so. It's like a Mark Twain thing. And when you haven't gone through things, when you're growing, we tend to be linear thinking. Like our bodies are biologically linear. And which is hard when you have like GMO foods or really bad foods, and your body's like, what the hell is this? I need 100 years to figure this out. And then you end up, your weird things happen. Same thing with our thinking. You've got to find a hack to expand the thinking, because it's easy to think, how am I going to double my business? Well, you can literally work twice as hard, work 80 hours a week instead of 40. Great. But if you're going to 10x, how do you do that? You have to have different thinking. So one of the biggest mistakes was those moments where I said, oh, I'm so smart. And I stopped having mentors or masterminds. And it was then that I ended up getting wiped out, like literally went homeless, lost $25 million because I thought I was the smartest guy in the room. And now I have therapists, coaches, masterminds, mentors. I have people that are, they've gone down the road so much further than me that it's obvious for them. And I go, oh. And so I just follow along. When they say things, I don't sit there and go, well, I know better. I go, okay, that's how it's done. And then it's kind of like osmosis. We just start normalizing doing things instead of waiting 20 years to like inch our way into it. We can hopscotch and leap over it. That's one of the biggest mistakes, is not having people. And the reason people don't do that, they're not committed enough. So they say, I'm not going to spend the money to have these people that are so wise. But it's not about those people not being good enough. It's about the individual not being committed enough. That's the difference. That's when it all happens, when you commit.
Awesome. Now I want to dive into that a little bit more, but we're going to take a really brief break for a word from our sponsors and we'll be right back. What if I told you your next big client, investor, or business opportunity is already watching you? They just don't know you yet. In today's digital world, attention is currency. Sharing the right content can mean the difference between being seen as an expert or being completely overlooked. If you're not actively building your personal brand, you're leaving money, influence, and opportunity on the table. That is where Executive Lens comes in. We help busy business owners, investors, and entrepreneurs capture and curate compelling content so you can build a powerful personal brand on LinkedIn and beyond without adding hours to your already packed schedule. Through high-quality video storytelling, we help you capture the essence of your brand. So when people see you online, they don't just scroll by, they stop, watch, and engage. Your story deserves to be told. Your expertise deserves to be recognized. And your personal brand, it absolutely deserves to stand out. Let's make that happen. Turning content into connection, LinkedIn leadership starts here. Find out more at executivelens.co. Inspired to Invest is proud to support the Beyond Success program. In today's complex world, it's absolutely crucial for our youth to learn how to take charge of their financial future. We believe that every young person deserves access to accurate, practical financial information. Designed to bridge the gap, the Beyond Success program leverages a comprehensive educational bootcamp to equip young minds with essential financial literacy skills. At Beyond Success, it's not just about teaching financial literacy, it's also about fostering a foundation for a prosperous and empowered future. Join us. Together, we can build a brighter financial future for the next generations. Join us. Together, we can build a brighter financial future for the next generations. Thanks again for following along with this episode of Inspired to Invest. In addition to real estate, investing, and running my own brand experience agency for 18 years, I also published a book called The Accidental Entrepreneur in October of 2021. This is my story, and it chronicles how I turned tragedy into triumph to embrace my destiny in entrepreneurship. If you're interested in picking up a copy, you can find the link at serenahomesrealtor.com, and you can also find my link tree with all of the retailers in the details below. Thanks again for your support. Everybody, welcome back to Inspired to Invest. I've got Damian Lupo here with me from Frame Tech. And before the break, we're talking about challenges and obstacles. And one thing I always like to ask my guests is, what's the craziest thing they've been through? And I think you alluded to that before the break, just in terms of, you know, really being wiped out. So maybe you can dig into that a little bit more and share about what happened and how you came back from it.
Well, it's funny. The craziest thing I've been through, it's like, well, I can, based on the week, I can tell you some crazy thing that's like a once in a lifetime chaos meltdown thing. But that one was pretty intense. And that was in 2007. I had made several million dollars selling off a bunch of houses. And I thought, oh, I'm super smart. So I can just take this and extrapolate that into other things. So I went and started developing things in seven different states in the US, and ultimately was wrong with every single project all at once. Within 12 months, I went from being like a multimillionaire.
So we can talk more about that.
It's unbelievable. We tend to way underestimate how wrong we can be. And that was one of the pieces of being young, naive, and inexperienced. Yeah. So I wasn't putting in like really true worst case scenarios. And worst case scenario happened all over my face. And I ended up losing over $1 million on each of these projects, and yeah, ultimately was insolvent and homeless, lived out in my truck for a while. And yeah, it forced a reset. I needed to figure out why I was doing what I was doing, because before that, it was all for money. And that was, you know, that was probably the most intense and useful experience and lesson, was going through that. I wouldn't want to do it again, but if I did, yeah, I'd be very clear on how to process through it, what people I needed to bring in to help me process. It's a totally different thing. This is why you leverage off other people that have experience, so yeah, that you're not, I was stumbling in the wild for like 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. Then how did you come back from it? So you go from losing everything, you're in your car. Like, what steps did you take to bounce back?
Well, first I found a place that wasn't cold, because I was in Northern Arizona in January. It was really freaking cold living in my car. But the process was going and asking for help from people that could help me process what I was thinking, and really going deep down into a place of who am I and what's true. That was the question that was asked for 2 years. I was with a therapist who became a dear friend, and he asked that question for almost 2 years until he fired me as a patient. And he's like, you're done. I said, what? He goes, you're literally the ideal patient, because you came in here every week and then you went home and you spent 10 or 20 hours working on yourself. Then you came back. So you just did like 200 years of therapy. And I said, oh. He said, you're done. Get out of here. And I was like, ah, am I ready? And he was like, yeah. And it was really just figuring out at the core, who am I and why am I here? When you get clear on that, then everything you're doing gets very easy to decide. And you really understand your values and a mission. It's not just money. Most people have this money thing that is their driver. And it's not only is it stupid, it's never enough. And it's very, you might be successful making your million or 10 million, but there's not really a whole lot of fulfillment around it. So it was, yeah, it was getting to that. And that wasn't part of the first 10 or 15 years that I had to go through that, and then watch my dad die in a state of regret because he hadn't done what he wanted to do. That all culminated at the same time. And then I went, okay, my purpose is to free people from financial bondage. It's, yeah, to give people a chance to live without regret and to live without the focus on money, because money is now taken care of.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. In terms of advice, what would you say is one of the best pieces of advice that have ever been passed along to you?
Shoot. It's funny. I've got a lot of different advice from people, and then I start mashing it in my brain and thinking about it and regurgitating it. So, one of the most powerful things is that more isn't better. More is more, and that's. I mean, you think about it, that whether it's food or money or sex or like, it's more, and we take things in Western culture, we tend to overdo it with more, thinking that we're going to be happier. Because ultimately, Aristotle said this: the purpose of life is happiness. We tend to want happiness, but we chase it in the wrong way. It's very hedonistic with these momentary moment, like these dopamine hits, whether it's social media or these hedonistic tendencies. As a super awesome hedonist, like I was terrible. Like you would have hated me. I would have hated me if I met myself 20 years ago, because that's all I was doing was just going after more stuff. And so that the advice is, figure out as quickly as possible what really matters to you and get money out of the way, and everything changes. But if you don't get those two things out of the way, then you're going to be tripping over money, and you're going to keep expanding what you need, if you will. I'm air quoting this if you're listening. You're gonna, it's there, the needs are always more, and that's a huge problem, because you'll wake up one day and go, I just chased money for the last 50 damn years. And that's the dying wishes, or the five things that people say. There's books about this. When they're dying in hospice, like you literally hear the same things over and over, and people are like, why did I spend all that time building up more money? And there wasn't the meaning. Money is not meaningful. There's a certain amount, and when you cross past it, that was my big mistake. I was chasing money, and I think God's kind of said, all right, dumbass, you're not paying
I gotta reel
attention. We
this
need
guy
to.
back in.
Yeah, it was, and sometimes if you don't listen, you get a really big lesson that tends to be very painful, because we pay attention to pain. It's what gets us to pivot.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. Now, when you look back at everything that you have done, what would you say you're most proud of?
The resilience of not quitting. It's, most people tend to be afraid of really going for it. They're like, well, I'm going to be judged, and I'm going to screw something up. I don't know enough. They need to study. And the reality is, you're never going to know everything, and it's going to change in the middle of it anyway. So it's why it's right now it's very dangerous with college, because 4 years from now everything is going to be different because of the acceleration and change with AI. So the thing I'm proud of is the resiliency to go through and fall on my face, and even though there's pain there, it doesn't hurt. And there's a distinction there, because I can acknowledge pain. Like when I get my, you stub your toe, it's like, okay. But when you can start to rewire your brain and you go, okay, I acknowledge it, but it's not going to derail me. That's the same thing with resiliency. It's like, okay, I'm going to make mistakes. I may be wrong, but I'm never in doubt. I make decisions, I move forward, and I know that things are going to be wrong, but it doesn't matter. And most people are so slow to do things. And they're like, well, my life isn't happening. It's like, because you won't make a damn decision, because you don't want to make a mistake, because we're trained not to make mistakes. That's where all the power is, and the courage to make the mistakes and learn from those, and the resilience to get up when you get your butt kicked and knocked down and punched in the face by Mike Tyson every day.
Love that. Now, obviously, money isn't everything. We established that. But at the same time, you are building these businesses. So, what would you say is next for you? Like, is there something that you're trying to create when it comes to legacy or generational wealth or just impact that really means the most to you?
It's a great question, and I'm so in love with what I'm doing. I wake up typically between 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning every day, and I can't wait to get started doing my thing, because I love building, I love creating, I love connecting, and that's what I get to do every day. So it's almost like a terrifying thought. After this, why would I want to stop this? Like, this is my art. This is what I get, and this is what I'm hopeful for everybody. Find that thing where there is no next, because you're like, man, I'm not retiring from this. I'm not stopping this. I am. It's like being a professional, whether musician or sports, somebody in sports, they're in their flow, they're in their jam. And when you find that thing, that's where I live. And so the impact of that is like every day. I feel the impact with investors, with society, with the breakthroughs, with things breaking and solving problems. Like every time there's a problem, I'm like, cool, this is an opportunity for growth, one of our basic human needs. There's six of them. I get to go find and create the growth opportunities by finding the problems, which tend to land on my lap constantly. And that's like a huge gift. And most people are like, oh man, I can't wait to get rid of my problems. Why? that's going to give you juice for life. It's going to give you meaning.
Yeah.
Like you get to solve stuff, and we are able to do it. And so when you embrace it, it changes everything because it's not like you don't avoid it anymore. You're like, bring it on, baby. Let's go.
Awesome. Now, in terms of pearls of wisdom, is there anything you would want to leave with anyone that is watching or listening?
Yeah, there's something I remember years ago, probably when I was in my very early 20s, there was a concern about what people thought. And it starts when you're a kid, most people are told A's are better than D's, get better grades, and just like you don't want to make mistakes, you want to do really well, and people look at you better, like you're an honor society or whatever it is where you live. It's when you're failing, you're not looked at as a winner, and people want to win, they want to feel good. The problem is we tend to be thinking about what other people think about it, and so our genius tends to be squashed because in many cases it's a fringe thing, and it may be crazy to somebody. And you think about why that is, because our parents and people that are out there want us to be safe. They don't want us to be in pain. And if you're going after your passion and your purpose specifically, it's oftentimes going to be something a little crazy to most people, and it's not going to be safe. It's like, you want to do what? That's a terrible idea. You're going to starve to death. And so what happens is we tiptoe safely to death's door, and then we arrive with this massive amount of regret, which is hell on earth. So what's the lesson there? The nugget is, as quickly as possible, detach from other people's thoughts of you. You'll find freedom there that you've never experienced before when you're like, oh, I'm actually free. I can operate from my soul and not from other people's judgment on things that make me safe.
Yeah, I love that. Now the name of this podcast is Inspired to Invest. So I always like to ask people if they've got a particular quote that motivates or inspires them.
And the quote is fail faster and more often. I mean, it's really kind of interesting when you start embracing the failing, you realize, oh, this doesn't make me a failure. This makes me experienced. This is great.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I remember very early somebody said, when I asked them if they would loan me money to buy real estate, they're like, well, how many times have you gone bankrupt? I'm like, man, I'm like 22 years old. What do you mean? How many times have I gone bankrupt? And they said, after you've gone bankrupt a few times, call me. I'm like, that
Oh,
is the
gosh.
stupidest thing I've ever heard. And after I lost all my money 4 times, I'm like, oh, because you get stronger, and they wanted me to go through stuff. I don't trust people
And
that
you
have a
learn
perfect
how
track
to
record.
not do certain things, right? Like,
100%. Yeah,
yeah.
if it's perfect, you learn way more by the things that you fall on your face with. When you lose your money, you learn a lot, and you'll actually do better. If it's all a cakewalk, it's actually kind of scary because you don't have very much depth. You're kind of like cruising on ice, and then all of a sudden you fall through the ice, and you're like, oh, this is cold. This cold ice
Gotta
water.
get out of here. Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time today. For anyone that wants to get in touch to learn more about your businesses, what's the best way for them to find you?
Best place to go is turnkeyretirement.com, and it's because it's the opposite of what you think. It's what you're going to do is you're going to get a thing that I wrote. It's the 10 steps to $10 million. And the whole point there is I took everything that I've learned as I've built and gone to 10 million and then 100 million. It personally, it takes those principles of doing that, and it gives them to you. So in 10 minutes, you can go, oh, this is what Damien learned. So I'm consolidating information, and it's how you tap into my brain. The idea is you want to tap into people's brain and model them that have done things. So if you're like, oh, yeah, I want to make money not be the focus of my life, great. Let
Yeah.
me show you how to get yourself there. And so if you go there, just download that thing, pick what you like, throw away the rest, and you'll get a piece of me based on 30 years of brain damage that I had to go through.
Awesome. Well, we'll include all of that in the show notes below. I'm sure that's going to be valuable for people that are tuning in. Of course, thank you for your time. For anybody that is watching or listening, if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And you're following along on social at Inspire to Invest Podcast. And remember, when you invest in yourself, the sky's the limit. Thanks again. Thank you to Executive Lens for bringing us this episode of Inspired to Invest. The views represented on this podcast are for general information only and does not constitute investment or other professional advice or an offering of securities. The host and guests featured on Inspired to Invest make no representations as to the performance of any particular investment. Should you decide to make an investment, you are responsible for conducting your own review and analysis. It is recommended that you obtain independent legal, accounting, and tax advice from licensed professionals.